All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we continue this week. Mirza Hashem is still in Kapitel Tesvot. So just moving along the different qualities and midos that David HaMelech is talking about. So again, just look at the first two psukim. Mizmor leDavid, Hashem yagor ba'ohalecha miyishkon bahar. It's just the same introduction we give every week that David HaMelech ultimately is trying to figure out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyagor ba'ohalecha, ultimately the ohel being a reference to. This is the fifth shira in this kapitel. All right, good. Olam Hazeh, good. Referring to the temporary dwelling in the tent of this world, the temporal nature of life in Olam Hazeh. Mi yishkon bahar kodshecha, reference to Olam Haba. So David HaMelech asking the ultimate question as how does one merit successful living both in this world as well as in the world to come. So far, let's go through the ones we've already spoken about. Holech Tomim. We're not going to go through and review at all of them. The truth is, but when we finish this kapitel, whenever that may be, what we'll try to do is we'll try to do one closing shiur on the kapitel where we actually go through the entire list. Because remember, right now we're looking at each of these attributes independently. Obviously, David HaMelech doesn't just, you know, it's not just chaplap that everything comes together and it's not just simply a stream of consciousness. There clearly is a theme. There's a thread. There's a common thread that runs between each of these needles. We're not focusing on that now, but after we get through the list, we will go back and ultimately see what the common denominator among them is. But so far we've looked at Holech Tamim, Poel Tzedek was last week, and this week Dover Emes Bilvavo. Literally translated Dover Emes Bilvavo, I'm sorry, I underlined the wrong one. Speaks truth in his heart. Dover Emes Bilvavo. So the question, of course, that we're going to focus on today is what exactly does this mean? Now, interestingly enough, what's immediately intriguing about this phraseology? Dover Emes Bilvavo. Right. See, here's what's interesting. If you were to, David HaMelech would have just said Dover Emes, okay, speaking truth. Or Choshev Emes Bilvavo, or ultimately one who believes. The concept of speaking truth in your heart is quite intriguing. David HaMelech clearly seems to be combining two different processes. One that is external, and ultimately one that is internal.
But that's the one who does not, there is no contradiction in.
Oh, good. So we'll discuss this. Take a look at number two. So first approach is the Radak. So the Radak, again, we're just trying to understand one, what would appear to be simple phrase of Dover Emes Bilvavo, one who speaks truth in his heart. So it says the Radak to Aleph. The Radak himself gives three different approaches, but the three approaches are somewhat similar. So three Aleph, Dover Emes Bilvavo, Vizehu Loshon Vahalev, Omer, Shehu Dover Emes, Li'olam lo yimatze sheker bidvarav. So what the Radak does is the Radak splits it up. So Dover Emes means what? Dover Emes means just like what it says. What does it mean? Speaks the truth. Speaks the truth. Which, by the way, we know is not always the simplest thing. You know, there's an interesting concept. This is not our shir for today. But there is an interesting concept of mutar l'shanos mipnei hashalom. So what does mutar l'shanos mipnei hashalom mean? That sometimes you are permitted, l'shanos, to change the truth for the sake of shalom, right? Where's the first instance we see this? Excellent. Right, by Avram and Sarah, where ultimately Sarah laughs. Sarah laughs when she hears about the fact that she's going to have a child. And her reason for laughing is, Va'adonizakein. My husband's an old man. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu retells Avram Avinu the story, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes it just a little bit and says, why did Sarah laugh? Because she said, Va'anizakanti. So first of all, it's quite dramatic that the first concept of changing for the preservation of peace is by God. It's by God. Now, it has to be by God. Why? Because the truth is, otherwise, we would not have known that this is actually acceptable behavior. Because the truth is, one could have made the argument that the truth is the truth is the truth. And maybe, even if the truth ends up hurting someone's feelings, you have no right to go ahead and manipulate it. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'ba'atzmo does it, the fact that God, I don't want to use the word lie, because lie comes with a very negative connotation, but the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates the truth and changes the facts just a little bit, meaning the concept ultimately is the same. Bottom line is, God conveys to Avram Avinu, see, here's the difference. God conveys to Avram Avinu the bottom line important message, which was, Sarah did not believe she was going to have a child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not feel that it was important why Sarah laughed. If she laughed because Avram was old, or if she laughed because she was old, at the end of the day, she laughed in disbelief that such a thing could possibly happen. So that becomes the model. That becomes the model. You have to be very careful with this concept, because it very easily turns into a slippery slope. Right? Also because, you know, shalom itself is one of the most elusive things. Shalom is sometimes good, but shalom is sometimes the antithesis of good. Sometimes in life, there are times that you have to take a stand, and you have to stand up for what you believe in, and even if people aren't going to like it, and even if it's going to cause an incredible amount of machlokas, you still have to stand up for what you believe in. And there are other times when you have to go ahead and back down, because perhaps the fight, right, or the machlokas that's caused is not worth the end result. Same thing, there are times when you have to just tell the truth. And you have to let, as they say, the chips fall where they may. And there are times when you have to try to sugarcoat it or maybe even manipulate it just a little bit, because you could accomplish the same thing without hurting the same amount of feelings. So the point that the Radak is saying over here is this is not such a simple thing. Dover emes, the Radak says, Dover emes, to be a speaker of truth, li'olam lo yimatzei sheker bidvarav. Now this is an incredible statement. A person who you will never find sheker, you will never find falsehood in this words. Now does that mean they always speak the unadulterated, unedited truth? No. Right? The proof to that is, we'll see this later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different identities. And he wears, so to speak, many different hats. He is known by many different attributes. But interesting enough, as we'll see later on, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the signet of God is Emes. And yet we know that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Avram Avinu the story as it happened. So clearly, Emes does not require an always retelling of the facts over as they are, but what Emes requires is a staying away from Sheker. So, again, this is not really the shiur on the step, but I'm just going to point out this distinction. Avoiding sheker doesn't always mean the same thing as constantly telling the unadulterated truth. So what the Radak is saying over here is li'olam lo yimatzei sheker bidvarav. So a dover emes is someone who is always truthful. Does it mean they deliver the unadulterated truth? Not necessarily. Because sometimes life calls on us to kind of manipulate the facts just a little bit, not to engage in sheker. A Jew is never permitted to engage in sheker, but sometimes you have to sugarcoat, manipulate, do different things in order to avoid hurting someone's feelings. So again, it's dover emes li'olam lo yimatzei sheker bidvarav. Okay, he goes on. Two aleph, second line. V'ha emes sheyidaber befiv hu bilavavo. But the Radak understands that what David HaMelech is describing is that the truthfulness that emanates from my lips really stems from where? Stems from my heart. Ki eino omer echad bepeh ve'echad balev. What Tanya was just saying before. Meaning, dover emes bilvavo means a lot of people, a lot of us, live life with a disconnect. A disconnect between our heart and our lips. So either we say something, but we don't necessarily believe it, or we believe something, but we can't actualize it. So says the Radak that dover emes bilvavo is that there's a perfect harmony between ultimately what I feel and what I espouse. What I say, what I claim, and this, by the way, this is say in my belief, say with what I'm going to do, whatever, you can fill in the blanks with whatever you want in life. But the idea is that there is a harmony between what is in my lave and ultimately what passes my lips. Ki eino omer echad bepeh ve'echad balev, ki moshe divrei piv emes, kein hein machshavos levavo. That ultimately what passes through my lips, what I say, is what is truly in my heart. You know, it's an interesting idea. We had a question. Question, yes. Right, so it's a good question, because I think it's a very fair question. Every question is fair, whether or not I like my answer is a different issue. But I think the difference is like this. When we speak about the moach by itself, the mind, the brain, is intellect. Leave is usually the term that's used for the combination of intellect and emotion. You know, there's a very interesting discussion or a very interesting philosophical debate in Judaism of can you divorce emotion from intellect? Can you divorce emotion from intellect? Meaning, at the end of the day, are we capable of being just cold-thinking beings without any kind of emotion attached to it? And it happens to be, it's a deep philosophical debate that really is rooted in how you view man. Man at his core, is man an intellectual being or is man an emotional being? I'm sorry? 100%. But that's not normally how we associate it. You're talking on a clinical scientific level. Yes, everything comes. Are you a Yekka? All right, so there's no question. There's no question that everything comes from the Moach. We know scientifically. The only thing the heart does for us on a clinical level is pump the blood throughout our body so that we can live. But clearly, when we think about emotion, we feel it. Because so we could talk about this for a moment. So why is it? How did it come that the heart? It represents emotion and even thought, if clinically we know everything comes from the brain. So what's the answer to that? Right. I'm sorry? For Valentine's Day. Okay, good. I should have thought of that. Why? Oh, I think that's the fundamental difference. Because you feel your heart beating. Because when you get excited, you feel your heart beating faster. When you get sad, you feel your heart beating faster. A person doesn't feel anything. I know my brain is there, Baruch Hashem. I hope that it's working, Baruch Hashem. But I don't, if you ask me, did I feel it? I can't associate brain, I can't identify brain activity. But cardiac activity, I feel it. I feel it get faster, I feel it get slower, I feel it beating in my chest. So because of that, it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in Kisvei HaKodesh, Chazal in Kisvei HaKodesh, go ahead and associate everything with the heart because a person could perceive it, the person could feel it, leaving aside the clinical issues. So, according to the Radak, the first idea of Dover Emes Bilvavo means that there is perfect harmony between what I think, what I feel, and what I say. The same Emes that I am Medaber, the same Emes that I speak, is the same Emes that's in my leiv. Two bays. He goes on. V'yichlo gam bazeh she'amar, v'dover emes bilvavo, she'yikayim ma she'mechashev bilvavo, la'asos tova. The Radak then takes this one step further. It's not only that there is a harmony between what I think and ultimately what I say, but there is a harmony between what? What I pledge to do and what I actually do. Right, Dover Emes Bilvavo ultimately means Sheyekayim Mashemechashev Bilvavo Lazos Tova. Now this is a little bit more novel because generally Dibor, speech, is not usually equated with action. Those are usually two different things. But the Radak over here is equating them. Dover Emes Bilvavo means I take the good intentions, I take the aspirations, I take the goals that are in my lathe, and I translate them into concrete life activity. Okay. Kilomar, Ein tzarech lomar ki mash shemedaber bepiv mekayim, ela afilu mash shechoshev mekayim, v'yosim emes machshavto. So the Radak goes without saying, because it's clear, it goes without saying, that what I say I'm going to do, of course I have to carry through on. But David HaMelech takes it a step further. Even those things that you don't say you're going to do, but you know what? You know in your heart that you have to do them, make sure to act on those things as well. So this is an incredibly profound yisod that David HaMelech understands that the nature of the human condition is such that there are so many things we have in our heart, so many goals, so many aspirations, so many things we know that we want to accomplish, and the greatest challenge in life is taking those things, extracting them from the heart, from cardiac aspirations, ultimately into life aspirations, right? There's a lot of wonderful stuff that's going on within each of our hearts, but Dover Emes Bilvavo, make sure that whatever you have inside, make sure you take the potential and turn it into kinetic life activity. Dover Emes Bilvavo. He goes on to Gimel. We'll just go through the Radak and we'll bring it all together. He says, V'yichlo bo gamkin godel mitzius hakel v'yichudo shu emes v'dover eme oso b'fiv v'choshev oso bilavavo lahavino al derech hamofes kash kimosha tora oso hachma. Interestingly enough, then the last line the Radak says, or the last approach, is a little bit more theological. That ultimately, to make sure that the belief that I have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's embedded in my heart is somehow translated into dramatic life activity. That emunah is not just simply a cerebral idea. That emunah is not just a thought process. Emunah is meaningful ultimately when it is translated into action. So take your belief system, take your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and make sure that it is actualized in your life. It's an interesting idea. Just you should know, the Shulchan Aruch, right? Rav Yosef Karo. So you write the Shulchan Aruch, Code of Jewish Law. So what's the opening line of Shulchan Aruch? Shifisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I have placed HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. Now, it's a strange opening because the Shulchan Aruch is a book of halacha, right? The Shulchan Aruch is not, and yes, the beautiful part about Judaism is that everything is hashkafic and everything is filled with musr. You just have to know how to take the messages. But we often assume that the Shulchan Aruch is telling me what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and it opens up with Shavisa Shalom Negdi Summit. Why is that? Because Rav Yosef Karo understood that if I don't somehow take my belief system and put it in front of me in a way that I could tangibly see it, the rest of my Judaism doesn't get off the ground. Because at the end of the day, a person, we've spoken about this idea before, a person can be behaviorally pious, where I do what I need to do. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm not chayiv skila, all right, I'm going to avoid kares, I've avoided any kind of serious transgression, I've even done a couple of positive things, but that's not ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is for our entire Judaic service to be motivated out of a profound sense of God awareness. The Baal HaTanya speaks about this extensively, where he writes, it's actually a very dramatic Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says, what makes, I think I spoke about this once before, what makes a tzaddik, right? After all, what is it, what is the job description for being a tzaddik? How do we determine who's a tzaddik or not? Or how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu determine who's a tzaddik or not? So what's the answer? See, you know, classic answers would be knows a lot of Torah, but the truth is you could be an incredible Talmud Chacham and not be a good person, right? Doing a lot of mitzvos, a person could do a lot of mitzvos, it doesn't mean they have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baal HaTanya writes, the definition of a tzaddik is someone who is mekayim shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid perpetually. In other words, the definition of a tzaddik is someone who has ongoing, perpetual God awareness. If you feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you allow yourself to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your day-to-day life, that's tzidkus. That's tzidkus. The Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya. So if we take this all and just look at the Malbim, then we'll combine this first approach. The Malbim really piggybacks on this last approach of the Radak, and the Malbim writes, Ubi inyan ha'emuna. Dover Emes Bilvavo is a theological concept. He says, Dover Emes Bilvavo, Shelotiya Emunasom in Asafu Lachutz. One's emuna, one's belief in God, should not be from his lips and outward. Ki geder ha'emuna. Now, the Malbim says something very profound over here. What is emuna? Haskamas haleif imashu motzi bisvasav. This is actually a very profound idea. The Malbim says that the definition of emuna is someone who has agreement between his heart and his lips. It's actually interesting. The word emuna means what? Right? Belief. Now here's what's interesting. You know, we often use that word to go ahead and talk about our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you speak about an Adam Ne'eman, what does an Adam Ne'eman mean? A trustworthy individual. Right? When we say that a person has ne'emonos, it means that we believe the person to carry through on what they are going to carry through on. So an Adam Ne'eman is someone who I can ask them to do something, and I believe they're actually going to accomplish the task at hand. So the Malbim says something amazing. He says, you know what emuna is? What does it mean to have emuna on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That God could rely on me, that what I say to him is actually what? Not just true, what I believe in my heart. What I believe in my heart. The same way that when I trust someone, I believe that what they're saying to me is not just lip service, but what they're saying to me ultimately is what they believe in their heart. So emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Malbim, means, again to use his wording, haskamas haleiv imashu motzi bisvasov, that my heart agrees with what my lips are saying. It's such a, I think it's such a profound, simple, but profound insight in emunah, that emunah means that there is agreement between my heart and my lips, that what I say to God ultimately is what I actually believe in my heart. Now, I'm not trying to minimize this. I think that this is a major, major feat, because it's very easy to say things, but it's not as easy to believe it inside your heart. Of course, everything we do is always circular and somewhat cyclical, because the way ultimately, we saw the Sefer HaChinuch ages ago, who spoke about the idea that the way to influence the heart is how? Actions, through the lips, right? So sometimes, as much as the ultimate essence of emunah is to have agreement, looking for a better word than agreement, haskamas.
Harmony.
All right, we'll call it harmony. All right, we'll call it harmony. Harmonious agreement between the heart and the lips. Sometimes it doesn't start with the heart. Sometimes it begins with the lips. Sometimes it begins with actions, and then ultimately is those actions that influence and inform the heart. So this comprises our first approach. So according to the Radak, and again, this is really a three-pronged approach. According to the Radak, Dovra Emes Bilvavo means three things. Number one, Shelo Yimotze Sheker Bidvarov. You should not be Echad Bapeh, Ve'echad Baleh. That's whatever I say. Now again, remember, what is the Radak referring to over here? Not just my relationship with God, what is he referring to?
Life.
How I interact, how I conduct myself, how I speak. We all know that the most despicable midah, the most despicable trait in life, is when a person is dishonest. When a person says one thing and then ultimately does not actually believe what they're saying, that's, I think we've probably all been on the receiving end of behavior like that. And the truth is, it's some of the most hurtful life behavior. When you put your trust in someone because you took their word, and then ultimately that word does not materialize simply because they never really intended on honoring it. So David HaMelech says, Dover emes bilvavo. Make sure that you are not echad bapeh ve echad balev. Let there be harmonious agreement between what you say and what you really intend to do. That's approach number one. Approach number two, he says that make sure it's not a question of its intentions. Make sure that whatever goals and aspirations you have for yourself in life, whatever goals you have in your heart, make sure what? Make sure you act on them. Dover MS Bilvavo. Take the MS, take the things that you know to be true in your heart, take the goals that you have for yourself, and don't just allow them to reside in your heart, but extract them and try to actualize them in the arena of life. And lastly, says Radak, which is what the Malbim agrees with as well, that it's a dinen emuna. It's a dinen belief. That what it means, Dover MS Bilvavo, is make sure you have emuna. What's the definition of emuna? And the Malbim builds on this. Haskamas halev imashu motzi bisvasov. Emuna doesn't just mean saying the right things. Emuna means believing the right things and then giving those beliefs verbal forms with words that actually mirror what your internal intentions and convictions truly are. Yes? Truth into its innermost parts. Good. Innermost parts means the person. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes. Within a day. Right. Right. So I would tell you that I think probably a lot has to do with who it is that you're speaking to. Right? That, again, there are some people who, if you tell them 15 minutes, they're not going to hold you to 15 minutes. There are other people who, if you tell them 15 minutes, they're going to be waiting, looking out the window. It's 14 and a half minutes. So I think a person, in general, when you speak, you always have to be sensitive to the person who you are speaking to. What are going to be their expectations if I say 15 minutes, to use your example? But I think on a deeper level, I think what David HaMelech would say, according to the Radak at least, is it's a good... it's good for personal reasons to always try to be exact with your words. You know, this is, goes back to the Mishnah of Avos, where the Mishnah says, Chachomim hizahru b'divreichem. Right? Be careful with your words. Soon. I mean, if that works for the person, you know, but the idea, right, you know, Mr. Schneeman, you're going to get a reputation now. You know, okay, so take a look at number four, second approach, the Alshich. So the Alshich writes, Velo Omar Belibo. So the Alshich makes a very interesting textual observation. The Alshich writes that if you're writing the pasuk, the way you would write, the way you would normally write this phrase is v'dover emes belibo, belibo, right? Speaks truth in his heart. The way David HaMelech wrote it was dover emes bilivavo, bilivavo. Now, interestingly enough, English-wise, it translates the same way as in his heart. But the Alshich makes an amazing observation. The Alshich writes v'lo amar belibo ki'im bilivavo. Shekolel shnei hashnei yitzarim. Now here's what's interesting. I should have actually put this on the sheet. We know in Kriya Shema that the Torah tells us, "V'yahavtas Hashem lokecha b'chol levavicha." Levavicha. Levavicha means what? Your heart. Now again, you can ask the same question here. Why doesn't it say "V'yahavtas Hashem lokecha b'chol libicha"? What is levavicha? So the Gemara there explains that levavicha means b'shnei yitzrecha. B'yetzer hatov or b'yetzer hara, that you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with both of your inclinations, both with your good inclination as well as with your negative inclination. So of course, the Gemara says that, right? Well, the Torah says v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha. That's the pasuk. The Gemara asks why. The Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but the unasked question is why levavecha? Why not libcha? Why not libcha? Why need the extra vase? And the answer is, the Gemara says, levavicha means the extra vase refers to the two libos, the two hearts of man. What are the two hearts of man? Yetzer hatov, yetzer hara. Just as an aside, what does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your yetzer hara? What does that mean?
Don't let it dominate you.
Okay, don't let it dominate you.
Let the good one.
Oh, so Rav Soloveitchik in Ala Tshuva explains a beautiful yisod. He says that Judaism does not believe in bi'ur hara, but it believes in ha'ala'os hara. What does that mean? That we don't necessarily have to extinguish the bad within us. We just have to elevate it and rechannel it. Right? Meaning, the truth is, the Chazanish also discusses this idea, and it's an incredible yisod. The Chazanish wrote, he said, if you ask people, who's holier? Us now, our generation, or generations who no longer worship idolatry? Or the generations that we read about in the Nevi'im who worshipped idolatry in such a rampant fashion? And what's the answer? So we would say, most of us would say, of course us. You know, we don't worship idolatry. So the Chazanish says, absolutely not. He says, because when people are running to idolatry, at least it showed that they had a koach to connect to something bigger than themselves. The Chazanish says, as opposed to in our generation, where people are quite content just worshiping the eye, right? We don't really need anything else in life. So what does that show you? So the Rambam also discusses this idea, or Soloveitchik discusses this idea as well, which is Avraham Avinu. You know, you ever wonder, how did an Avraham Avinu come onto the face of this world? Right? Avraham Avinu is born into a culture of polytheism, of paganism, of idolatry. His own father was one of the chief idol manufacturers. So how is it that Avraham Avinu found HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rav explains, not simply, but in a nutshell, that Avraham Avinu lived in a generation where there was an incredible koach for spirituality. It was just diffused in all the wrong directions. So what did Avraham Avinu do? He harnessed that koach. He channeled it towards monotheistic worship. And he became the greatest monotheist of all time. Why? Simply because he redirected that koach. You know, just Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev brings down in his Ma'amaros on Rosh Hashanah, he says something amazing. He says, you know, I think he quotes the, I guess it's Api Kabbalah, Api the Zohar, but he says, you know what happens, such an amazing image. He says, you know what happens every single day? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a burst of Shefa. He gives us a burst of energy. And the Rebbe writes, he says, Shefa is parith. It's parith. It's divine energy. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just energy. And what you do with that energy, says the Rebbe, depends on where you are holding in the moment of life when you get that energy. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell you, by the way, expect, you know, FedEx is coming, you know, with your Shefa at between 3 and 5. Right? So meaning the great challenge of life is we actually don't know when we're going to get that burst of daily divine energy. And that's why, says the Rebbe, a person always has to be in a constant state of preparedness. Because if you get the Shefa when you are in a state of Tov, it will propel you to do incredible Tov. And if I Chas Shalom get that Shefa when I'm in a state of Ra, it will propel me to go ahead and do unfortunate Ra. So a person has to be... So life is all about channeling. Life is, and this is Rav Soloveitchik speaks about, that's why it's not Bir Hara. The goal is not to go ahead and eradicate bad things. That being said, there are some bad things that you do have to eradicate. But for most things in life, it's just the question of rechanneling everything. So a person has a problem with kas. A person has a problem with anger. What does it mean if you get angry easily? Right? It means you're a passionate person. If you're a passionate person, passion is one of the most important midos in Judaism. One of the most important midos in Judaism. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak also brings down, he says, there's a machlokas to Mishamai Besilo by Hanukkah about hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. What creates the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? Is it the kindling of it? Is it the kindling of the menorah? Or is it the placement of the menorah? So how do we paskin? We pass like Beis Hillel, who holds hadlaka osa mitzvah. It's the kindling that makes the mitzvah. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak writes, hadlaka osa mitzvah is not just a din by Hanukkah. It's a din by life. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. It's only if you're on fire about something. It's only if you're passionate about something. That makes the mitzvah. That makes the Judaism. That makes service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even kas, I chose kas purposely. Why? Because kas, anger, is one of the worst midos, right? The Gemara Maseches Sota discusses, kol hakoyis ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. You get angry, it's like you worship idolatry. A person who has a terrible temper, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the person, there's no room for me and you in this world together. See, even kas, which is the worst of all midos, maybe only on par with gaiva, with arrogance. And gaiva and kas, remember, are sister concepts. They're two sides of the same coin. So even something like that is the goal to stop getting angry? Yeah, but that's not it. The goal is to take that energy and redirect it in a more productive way. So, looping all the way back, that's what it means. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'shnei yitzrecha yitzer hatov, yitzer hara. We know how to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our good attributes. The goal is to try to figure out, look at my faults. What's my Achilles heel? What are my deficiencies? And now, what energies go into those deficiencies? And now, how can I turn those very energies around and redirect them into some kind of positive result? So look back to the Alshech. He says, Lomar, Shekol ka hushrush ledaber emes, shebidvar emes ein yitzro okzo. So the Alshech says something amazing. The Alshech says that what's the goal in life? The goal in life is to make MS such a part of your life that even your Yetzer Hara does not give you any problems. This is an interesting idea in general, that you see this in a number of different situations where there's a concept, and the truth is we have it even outside of Judaism, the concept of almost so-called behavior modification, or maybe even like the development of like a Pavlovian type of response, behavioral conditioning, where if you do things often enough, then what? They become part of your nature, right? It's the same way each of us, you choose something in your life that is habitual. And the truth is, you'll realize that you don't really have a Yetzirah not to do it, right? So for our reason, if a person has always kept kosher their entire life, right? A person has always kept Shabbos their entire life. So very often, a person doesn't have a Yetzirah Hara to go ahead and eat something not kosher. Or if a person tasted it, that's where the Yetzirah Hara comes in. But if a person is habituated in that behavior, the Yetzer Hara is not there. Why? Because the concept of behavioral conditioning. So says the Alshach something amazing. That what does it mean, V'dover MS Bilvavo? That MS has to become such a cornerstone of our identity that what? That I get no kickback, I get no resistance even from my Yetzer Hara. How does that happen? Behavioral conditioning. By constantly engaging in MS becomes part of me to the point that I don't even have a Hava Amina. It doesn't even dawn on me to potentially do anything other than MS. He goes on. Ela Adarabo, hu chafetz bedavar, v'zeu omro bilavavo, v'lo amar bilibo, shehu al shnei yitzarim yitzatov yitzara, sheshnei maskimim bedavar. Kimamar, he quotes the Yerushalmi, al Avram shnei emar bo, umatsasa es livavo, ne'eman lefanecha, shugam es yitzro. Okay, so according to the Alshich, and here's what's interesting about the Alshich. The Alshich doesn't tell us what the MS is, right? What MS are you referring to, Alshich? Remember, is it one of the three of the Radak or of the Malbim? Is it something else? So, for whatever reason, he chooses to leave MS as MS. But his point is that David HaMelech is telling us, Dover MS bilivavo, not bilibo, because bilibo would mean what? Use your Yetzer HaTov to go. No. MS has to become such a cornerstone of a person's identity. I have to become so conditioned in the speaking and pursuit of MS that it becomes second nature, to the point that what? That Shnei Yitzrecha, Bilavavo, Bilavavecha, Yitzra HaTov, Yitzra HaRa, both become conditioned to the concept of MS, so that even the Yitzra HaRa doesn't put up any kind of resistance. Okay, that's the Alshich. Another approach, number five. So if you've noticed, in every shir, I keep quoting to you from the same Gemara from Makos. This Gemara on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph in Makos is the Gemara that goes through this particular kapitel, phrase by phrase, giving us insights. So last week we saw that was the Gemara that spoke about, remember who we spoke about last week? Good, excellent. Abchilkia. Right, so now this week, what does the Gemara say? Number five, V'dover emes bilvavo, kegon Rav Safra. Kegon Rav Safra. So another one of these very helpful Gemaras. Right? Just like last week, the Gemara said, Kegon Abba Chilkia. It just shows you, the Gemara expects you to learn. Right? Gemara expects us to learn. So, right, Dover MS Bilbao. Kegon Rav Safra. Like, that's supposed to jog in my memory immediately what the Gemara is talking about. Okay. So, thank God for Rashi. So, take a look. I quoted to you actually this episode in two different places. The She'iltos Rav Acha, which is in number 6, which you could see that I gave you a little bit of a biography over here. Rav Acha of Shavcho, you could see who he was. So that's the She'iltos. But I also quoted a few in number 7 in Rashi. The difference is that the She'iltos, his wording is a little bit more complicated. Just look at it in Rashi number 7. He says, B'She'iltos Rav Acha, She'ilto Lamed Vav, V'hachi hava uvda d'Rav Safra. So listen to this. Here was the episode the Gemara is referring to. Rav Safra, ha'yelo chifetz echad limkar. Rav Safra had a particular object that he wanted to sell. He was selling an item. U'ba adam echad lefanov, b'sha'a shaya kori kriyashma. And a particular man came to Rav Safra while he was saying Shema. He was saying Shema. Now clearly Rav Safra was not in shul. So what the circumstances around this is, I don't know. But he's saying Shema, and this person approaches him. Okay. V'amar lo, tein li achefetz bekach v'kach domin. And the man says to Rav Safra, I'd like to buy the object for $100. Okay, sell me the object for $100. V'lo ano, mipnei shayakoi kriyashma. Now Rav Safra didn't respond. Why didn't Rav Safra respond? He was saying Shema. He was saying Shema. Now remember, during Shema, technically speaking, it's not just that one doesn't answer, but one is even supposed to avoid remiza, even motioning. So he doesn't go like, you know, 1 minute. He doesn't say anything. Okay. Kasavar zeh shelo haya rotze litno bedamim halalu. So what happened? So the potential purchaser took Rav Safra, he obviously didn't understand that Rav Safra was saying Shema. So how did he understand Rav Safra's silence? Negotiating. You're gonna, right? I'm not even gonna answer that bid. Right? I'm not even gonna respond. That's what you got? That's the best you have? So the man took it that Rav Safra was like, kivyocha, like offended. Offended at what a cheap price is being offered. V'hosif, amar teneu likat bekach yoser. Right? So therefore, what did the man do? The man got, he doubled it. Right? He doubled it. I'm sorry, but I need to offend Rav Safra. Right? I'll offer you 200 for the object. So what happened? So now when Rav Safra finished davening, Amar Lo, he said to the purchaser, Tol ha-chofetz bedamim sha'amarta berishona. You can take the object for the original offer you made me for the $100. Sheba'osan damim haya da'ati litnam lecha. Because that was the price in my mind that I was already ready to accept. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, what does dover emes bilvavo mean? Kigon Rav Safra. So what does that mean? What does the Rav Safra story highlight? That sometimes in life, the emes is only known to me. Is only known to me. So David HaMelech says that even in those situations in life where no one else will ever know, even on these situations in life where no one will ever know what was truly in my heart, make sure to maintain your personal integrity. Or in other words, the true test of one's honesty is when no one else will ever know what happened. See, Rav Safra could have easily gone ahead, and some might fault him for not being a good businessman. Right? So Rav Safra could have easily gone ahead and accepted the higher bid. Why not? I mean, the truth is, if Rav Safra would have asked the Shaila, right, I think that the Halacha would have told him he could have taken the higher bid. I mean, why not? If the guy's willing to pay money, right? It doesn't, you know, as long as it's not overcharging or halachic issues like that, why not? But Rav Safra felt from a personal integrity perspective, Dova MS Bilvavo, that sometimes the MS is only known in my heart. But that's the Dover MS. Sometimes I have to be willing to speak the truth, even when no one else knows. And it's not going to make a difference to us, but I know it to be true. I have to be strong enough to maintain my personal integrity, even when no one else will know what happened. Yes. Yes. He must have heard it. No, I think the simple understanding of the story is he heard it. He heard the guy offered him $100. Not everybody is holy as you, you know. It's I think that a person, even if you're davening somewhere, the truth is somebody comes over to you, walks over to you, and says something. I would think that he would hear it. I don't want to have some pogim in the cover of Rav Safra, but I'm sorry, you're a yekka. I know, Baruch Hashem. All right. He must have heard it. He must have heard it. Because it doesn't appear... Because if they would have had a pre-existing contract, then that's a halachic issue. Then if they already locked in a price, there's nothing else to talk about. That he knew it beforehand? It could be. It could be. It could be. Right. Yeah, it could be. Although I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at the story in the Pashut sense. That he was had incredible kavanah. But it happened to be that he heard. He heard. All right, so that's the Gemara. So Rav Safra, Dover MS Bilvavo, ultimately, even when you are the only one who knows, even when you can get away with it, and no one will ever know differently, maintain your personal integrity, even when the MS is only in your lave, unknown to anyone else, make sure it's what you act on. Yes? Yeah, I think the idea is that I think the Kriya Shema is not the important part of this. Remember, the Gemara is just telling us the story how it happened, because otherwise, Rav Safra, what the Gemara is saying is, Rav Safra would not have ignored someone. So why didn't he respond to the guy? Ah, he was saying Shema. So it must have been when he heard the first 100, in his head, he was masking, or that was the price anyway that he had already expected to get for the item.
No.
Or
was it that he said 100 and
yes.
He thought to himself,
B. I think it's the fact that the offer came in. Plus, you see, the component to this is that the potential purchaser misunderstood Rav Safra's silence. Yeah. He thought that Rav Safra himself was driving up the price.
Right.
So Rav Safra comes along and says, I wasn't driving off the price. I don't know if he told the guy he was saying Shema, but I want you to understand, I didn't answer because I was doing something else, not because I was driving up the price. And the price that I expected to get, which was the price that I was willing to accept you from the beginning, was 100.
Right, but if he had come and said, I would like to give you $200, then he wouldn't have been so different with MS, even if he had thought in his head that maybe 100%,
meaning if let's say, leaving the side of case, this purchaser would have come to Rav Safra, I'd like to give you $200. There's nothing wrong with accepting that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with accepting that.
It's just the fact that he had made this haskama inside of his heart.
It's correct. It's the fact that when he heard the first offer, he couldn't respond, but cognitively was willing to accept that. So it's locked in, so to speak. The fact that now you, purchaser, misunderstood my silence, I don't want to profit from your misunderstanding of my actions. Dover MS Bilvavo. Yes. 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 We're still Jewish, right? So we are going to get a good deal. There's no, right. Remember, let me clarify this point. It's very important. The reason why Rav Safra wouldn't take the extra 100 is because when the first offer came in, that's what he would have accepted. Correct. As far as he was concerned, okay, fine. Give me 2 minutes. I'm going to finish Shema, and I'm going to tell you perfectly fine. The matter then escalated because the guy misunderstood his correct. His lack of response. So meaning correct. Had the purchaser come over to Rav Safra and not even said 100%, I want to give you 200. Would Rav Safra been warranted in accepting that? Of course. Of course. It only escalated over here, only turned into a little bit more of a difficult issue because the first offer came in, was at least cognitively accepted by Rav Safra. Misunderstanding then creates a second higher bid. So Rav Safra said, look, honestly, I accepted already your first one. The fact that you went up because you misunderstood my silence, I'm not going to profit off your misunderstanding. I'm sorry? Well, the person might not have known. The person clearly didn't know. I don't think anybody. And I'll tell you, the proof that he didn't know was he didn't understand why Rav Safra wasn't answering.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's not the pshat that he went over to him and he asked him, and then, oh, he's in the middle of Shema. He clearly didn't know because then he offered 200 afterwards. So he clearly didn't understand why Rav Safra was in the middle of Shema. All right, last approach.
The best one.
I don't know if it's the best one. I think they're all Baruch Hashem. They all represent a different aspect. So here's what's interesting. So whenever you see these type of things, I think it's always interesting to see. The beautiful part about Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon HaKodesh is multifaceted and multidimensional. So words mean different things in different contexts. So if we're trying to understand ultimately what David HaMelech means by MS, right? Because remember, the essence of this phrase, Dover MS Bilvavo, is really MS. Because whatever MS is, that's what David HaMelech wants me to do with my lips and in my heart. So interestingly enough, one of the most important usages of MS within the Torah is in number 8. Vayavor Hashem apano vayikro, Hashem Hashem kaorachum vechanun, erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes. So remember, this is by the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just to give you the context, Klal Yisrael has built the golden calf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to go ahead and destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu lobbies God on their behalf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to spare them. Moshe Rabbeinu essentially says to God, you know, this is not going to be the last time we get in trouble. Give me a plan, meaning give me some kind of blueprint. What do I do when we get into these kinds of circumstances? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says to Moshe Rabbeinu an amazing thing. Daven this. Say this. Actually, the Gemara says, Nis'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a talis like a chazin, and he davened this order before Moshe Rabbeinu. He taught Moshe how to daven the Yud Gimel Midos, and he said to Moshe, whenever the Jewish people are in trouble, let them say Yud Gimel Midos, and I will have compassion on them. So, of course, what's intriguing about this is MS. Right? So we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Keil Rachum Mechanun. He's compassionate. He's benevolent, gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, the MS, and truth. So interestingly enough, when it comes to MS, the Malbim in number 9 writes, MS hu lekayim haftacha, o la'asos kefi adin va'mishpat. So here's what's interesting about MS. MS can mean one of two things. MS means you're good for your word. right, that what you say you are truly going to do. Or MS could also mean what? Din and Mishpat. Din and Mishpat means what? Strict justice. Now, the difficulty, if we go at that second approach, is what? Right, what does it do to the rest of the line? What does it do to the rest of the... Remember, Yud Gimel Midos is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu going ahead and having kindness. So it's interesting that after we say that God is Rachum, Chanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, oh, and by the way, MS. Right? And by the way, strict justice. And by the way, you could couple them together. That's only strict justice, but He will deliver on that justice. He will mete out that justice. So the... To the others. Okay, it could be, by the way, that could be to the others perhaps who do not engage in this particular process. Is that what you're referring to? Okay, so that could be also maybe to the nations of the world as opposed to Klal Yisrael, or it could also be to Klal Yisrael, to those who don't partake in this tshuva process. That could be. So look at number 10. So the Gemara struggles with this. Ilfa was one of the personalities in the Gemara. Ilfa says, Ilfa, Romiksiv. Ilfa seemed to pose two contradictory phrases. On one hand, the Torah says, V'rav Chesed. On one hand, the Torah says that God is abundant in kindness, abundant in loving kindness, uksiv, MS. But then it says that He is MS. And remember, Ilfa, although he's not explicitly saying it, Ilfa understands like what the Malbim is saying in number one, that MS means din umishpat. So what's going on here? Which one is it? To which Ilfa responds, betchila the MS. In the beginning, God's approach is MS, is strict justice. And then what? Ulibasov. But at the end, the way He interacts with us is how? Through abundant loving kindness, through abundant compassion. Yes? Excellent. Good. So, of course, the problem with Ilfa is the order of the Pasuk. Excellent. Right? The order of the Pasuk is V'rav Chesed V'Emes. The way that Ilfa seems to be phrasing it is how? Right? First, God was Emes, but then He set aside Emes and He put in Rav Chesed. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. So, let's just take a step back from here for a little bit, because this tension between Chesed and Emes is something that is present already from the beginning of time. Take a look at number 11. There's a moving medrash. I'm sure the medrash you're all familiar with. The medrash is Amar Rabbi Simon, Bishah Sheba Kadosh Baruch Hu Levaros Es Adam Arishon, when God was coming to create man, was coming to create Adam, Nasu Malochei Asharis Kitim Kitim. Right, there was like an Occupy Heaven movement. Right, we are not Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't do this. You cannot go ahead and create man. Literally means the Malachim lined up in groups. V'chaburos chaburos mehem omrim al yivra umehem omrim yivra. This is interesting. It's a celestial debate among the heavenly hosts. Right, among the angelic hosts. Should we create man or not? Some Malachim said yes. Others Malachim said no. So what happens? Because Pasuk Tehillim Chesed ve'emes nifgashu, tzedek v'shalom nashku. Chesed omer yivra shugom el chesedim. The Mid of Chesed said that man should be created. Why? Because just like God is a bestower of kindness, man can be godlike in this endeavor as well, and also be a bestower of kindness, which is also just an amazing idea. That here you see clearly that what is the essence of man's mandate in this world? Chesed. Chesed. You know, at the end of the day, man is supposed to be a Baal Chesed. That's it. Not that's it. There's a lot more that goes into that, because what Chesed is, how you ultimately... But we see that ultimately the argument to create man is not that man's going to learn a lot of Torah, is not that man's going to do a lot of mitzvot, is not that... The argument to create man is that he will be a Baal Chesed. He'll be a Baal Chesed, okay. The Emes Omer, Al Yivrash Kulashkarim. Emes, on the other hand, lobbied against the creation of man and said, don't create him, why? He's full of lies. Full of lies. Man is deceitful. Man is a trickster. Man is echad bepev ve'echad balev. He says one thing, means something else. Man is deceitful, filled with lies. Tzedek omer yivra, shu oset tzedakos. So kindness says, right? Kindness says that you should go ahead and create man because he'll do kindness. Shalom omer, Shalom says, no way, don't create man. You know why? He's filled with strife. They're always fighting. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what did God do? Natal emes v'yishlichu la'aretz. So what does God do? God literally, if you can imagine the scene, lifts up emes, throws emes down to the ground. Meaning the only way that man was created was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally purged the heavens of the midah of emes and was able to create man based on the midah of chesed. Because ultimately, man cannot stand up to the test of emes. Because divine emes is pure, unadulterated truth, and frail, imperfect man cannot live up to that standard. Take a look at number 12. It's always quoted before. That's how the Medrash says, Macho Samosh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the signet of God? Emes. It's MS. So now we understand what Ilfa is really saying. What Ilfa is highlighting over here is not just simply a tension in a pasuk. What Ilfa is highlighting is a fundamental tension between MS and between Chesed. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, now remember, God, the Yud Gimel Midos describe who? Describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God, how can you be Rav Chesed and MS? They're contradictory. Rav Chesed means you're filled with compassion. To be filled with compassion means what? Right. It means you're going to do for us even when what? We don't deserve it. MS means what? If you deserve it, then what? You're going to get it. And if you don't deserve it, no matter what you do, you won't get it. So Ilfa says, I don't understand. How can you reconcile these two things? How could the same God, how could we be davening? And remember, the question is amplified because the whole essence of Yud Gimel Midos is we daven this when we are in trouble. Right. We daven this when we need God to help us even though we don't deserve it. Right? Remember, for us, the Yud Gimel Midos have the greatest prominence when? Right? Yomim Noraim. Yomim Noraim. Slichos. Yom Kippur. So what are we doing during that? We're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need life. Don't ask me if I deserve it. That's not important right now. Right? I need bracha. Don't ask me if I've earned it. That's when you're getting off topic. I need you to help me. So what am I doing? I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm pulling out the Yud Gimel Midos that you promised to Moshe Rabbeinu that whenever we're in trouble, I can daven this and you're going to help us. And says Ilfa, are you crazy? We're putting in their MS. MS is what we're running from. Right? MS is what they're trying to avoid, like the plague. MS, we don't want anything to do with them. We want chesed. We want rachum v'chanun. So what's the pshat? So here's what's interesting. If you look at number 13, the Aruch Lener says something amazing. The Aruch Lener addresses the question that was raised before. And you can see a little biography over here. So the Aruch Lener is bothered by the order as well. Because remember, according to what Ilfa said, the way Ilfa stages it is that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu was MS. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu was MS. But he set that aside and then became Rav Chesed. So, but according to Ilfa, it should have been what? The Pasuk should have then read MS V'Rav Chesed. So the Aruch Lener says something amazing. The Aruch Lener says, "Umashemaktim v'Rav Chesed Yesh Lomar Shara Kadosh Baruch Hu Hera LaMoshe Eich Yasu Levakish Kaparim Chatu V'Lachin Vada Yesh Levakish LaHaktim v'Rav Chesed LaEmes." So the Aruch Lener says something amazing. You know what Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing us by putting Rav Chesed first? Kadosh Baruch Hu is actively showing us, "I have set aside Emes." By putting MS at the end of the Pasuk, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said is, you know what? What should have been first in the Pasuk? MS. Why? Why? Because that's number 12, that's the Medrash. MS is the signet. MS is the signature of God. MS should have been first. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe, look what I did. Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed. And only at the end, although it's not totally at the end of Yud Gimel Midos for reasons we'll discuss afterward, well, not today, but it's at the end. So I pushed MS all the way to the end in order to go ahead and what? In order to go ahead and forgive you. So that's what Ilfa's saying. Betchila, really the first midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have been MS, but God in His ultimate compassion pushes MS to the end of the Pasuk in order to make room for divine compassion. One second. So now, what does that have to do with our Pasuk? Right, remember, this is a Tehillim shir, not a Yud Gimel Midos shir. Not that we cover that much Tehillim either, but alright. So here's what's interesting. If you go with this idea of MS, so MS means pure, unadulterated truth. Right? The MS, MS means that you live up to a standard. MS means that you're right. MS means that you're correct. MS means that things go in the same. That's why MS argues against the creation of man. Because man does not, we do not personify MS. We personify chesed. We personify a lot of other good traits. But MS is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think the pshat, maybe in the pasuk, is like this. It's just like we see from here that the world can't survive on MS. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world just with the midah of MS, we would not endure. Because you know what happens with a world that's created with the midah of MS? You know what happens? One time you mess up and what happens? By the way, if you want a little bit of an insight as to what happens in a world of MS, look at what happened to the Jews in the desert. The Jews in the desert lived in a very close proximity to God. When you live in close proximity to God, what we call Lifnei Hashem, by definition, you live in a world of MS. When you live in a world of MS, there is virtually no room for error. No room for error. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create a world of MS. So here's what's interesting. I think what David HaMelech is saying is like this. That often in life, we look around and the world is not fair. The world, it bothers us, the lack of MS. Sometimes it bothers us, the lack of MS, is the lack of MS we see in other people. Right? Sometimes, and it's happens in life where we get hurt, we get profoundly hurt by others, and we see such a lack of MS in their behavior. And the truth is, it'd be nice to think that that happens to people once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. It happens somewhat often. It happens somewhat often. And people look around the world, and the truth is, when you look around the world, it often appears that those who cut corners, those who are dishonest, those who go ahead and trample on everyone below them, seem to what? Seem to succeed beautifully. And the people who try to play by the rules, the people who try to do the right thing, are often the ones who seem to be at an incredible disadvantage. So how do people often deal with this reality? They become jaded, they become cynical, and they become almost, they have to take on this notion of self-preservation. That people say that, you know what, if this is the way the world is going to act towards me, then I guess this is the way that I have to act towards the world. And people do it in various degrees. But that's where cynicism comes from. Cynicism is a self-defense mechanism towards the lack of MS that you see in the world. So suddenly, no, you don't really take anyone at their word. Everything is cynical. Everything is sarcastic. And we develop this self-defense mechanism to deal with the lack of MS in the world. And I think what David HaMelech is saying is the following. Dover MS bilvavo. That sometimes we look around the world and there's not a lot of MS in the world. Sometimes, unfortunately, that's the reality. Don't lose your personal sense of MS. Just because we live sometimes in a world that looks like it is without MS. Don't think that because you see around you the people who compromise their own MS get ahead, that therefore that means you should compromise your personal MS. No. Sometimes you can't find MS. Sometimes it's difficult to find that MS. It's difficult to find that goodness in the world around you. Make sure you don't lose your own. Dover MS bilvavo. Keep your personal sense of MS intact, even if the world around you is constantly challenging it. All right, we'll stop over here.
It kills you.